Getting ever so close to a trade deadline. Why are you giving thumbs up?
Sammy was hanging the jersey while we were on air for the first time today. He got busted.
So at least he got
giving the people at home a thumbs up.
At least he got the right jersey up.
He did. That's good.
And we are off and running on our Leaf Hour edition of the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We are live on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus. Nick Kypreos, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, Jake Schultz with you for the next 2 hours. At the top of the hour, we'll welcome in also Don Waddell, president of Hockey Ops, general manager of the Columbus Blue Jackets. You know, last time we had him on, he gave us some really good tidbits.
He did.
Including Olivier, who was not going anywhere, and he said, we love him and we're going to sign him. And sure enough, he did.
Yeah, he was a man of his word on that. He basically said he's going to be ours, and he is.
Okay, it's game day for the Toronto Maple Leafs as they are back on the road again. Back on the road again.
A lot of that.
Isn't there a song somewhere there?
I just can't wait to get on the road again.
You think they're singing that? They just got home, and now they're back.
I saw Tavares have a quote about feeling like they were on the road, even at home. You know, you come home, you do your laundry, you repack your bag, you go out again. It's not really a home visit.
Austin Matthews talked about how much he missed his dog.
Matthews has a dog?
Yeah. And he misses it. Hmm.
Leafs in Sin City tonight to take on Vegas Golden Knights. In the meantime, kind of looked around in the Atlantic Division, and they see some teams improving. Sammy, Tampa Bay.
Yes.
Lots of talk about Yanni Gord, too. Yanni.
Yeah.
Leafs may have been interested in him. Lawton, we hear. Shen's still out there from St. Louis, I would imagine, albeit it seems like it's really cool. And nope, doesn't happen for Leaf fans. They watch him go back home to Tampa Bay.
Yeah, it's, we're doing the Leafs. So we'll talk about it purely from the Leafs angle here. This stinks.
What other angle is
that? That's right. This stinks if you're a Leafs fan. Watching a guy who is a proven playoff performer and third line center in Yanni Gord. I mean, works, kills penalties, one of those guys. And Bjorkstrand is a huge addition for them as, you know, someone who can score a real goal total for them. And Tampa Bay lacked offensive depth, and they don't anymore. I will say, the Bolts are sneaky. They're third in the NHL in goal differential. They're better than people think. They might be one of the best teams in the league with this deal. You got to avoid that 2-3 matchup in round one now, Kip.
This trade isn't going to, be a downer for you for the next 2 hours of our show,
no,
is it?
No, I think if we maybe, I would love a trade to happen during our show. I remember specifically the year that they traded for Luke Shen and the year they traded for traded Engvall and traded everybody on the team. That happened during our show, and it was really exciting. I love that about sports radio.
Yep.
So I would like for that to happen. But I will say that optically, having the two teams that you are directly competing against on the road to potentially going deeper in the playoffs than you have in a long time have significantly improved in the last 4 days. You really, if you're Brad Treliving, the amount of pressure on you is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Because we talked about yesterday when I tried to do my fake trades and I couldn't come up with anything good. It's impossible to trade from, but your entire fan base is frothing at the mouth. we are frothing.
Did you tweet something reacting to the trade?
Yeah.
From a Leaf angle?
Yes.
What was it? I didn't read it. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine.
I was in a bit of a rush.
from the Leafs angle, I don't even remember what I tweeted. How about that?
Oh, would you like me to pull up your own Twitter account?
Yeah, sure. Sure, what did I say?
Get going.
Hold on. Just play the Jeopardy music.
I will say that when it comes to the trade deadline, it's not just trying to improve your own team. You have to out-improve the guys that you're trying to get better than. So that bar is now kind of unattainable for the Leafs. If they get better, they can get better.
I think there's a lot of time still here.
To get better than Gordon Bjorkstrand or Seth Jones?
Well, different.
Yeah.
Not better.
What did I tweet?
You tweeted a couple thoughts post-Gord.
Yes.
Cool, he's going back to Tampa Bay for him.
Yeah, it is.
Price is super high, but forwards are in short supply. D market is a little bit more buyer-friendly for once, but Leafs waiting this long to shop as the shelves clear. not great, Bob. Avoiding 2-3 round one matchup, crucial.
Yeah, so that's, yeah, the...
good tweet.
Avoiding the 2-3...
I like that one.
Avoiding the 2-3 yeah. matchup is crucial, but I do feel frustrated.
So you think they should have jumped in a lot earlier?
Yes, it was obvious they've had shortcomings and deficiencies, and other teams are shopping now.
But if you're looking for something in particular, or you have a name in particular...
Mm-hmm.
You can't really just go out and do something for the sake of trying to be first either. You got to really get your guy. And yeah. I don't know, it's Gord.
Was not their guy?
Not their guy.
I feel like there's 10 teams this year, because the standings are so close, there's like 10 teams who think, we have a chance this year, we have to go get someone. There's not many sellers, just the way that it shakes out this year. And so there's so few guys. Once you miss out on a couple guys, it feels like now it's like everyone for Brock Nelson or you're skunked. You know, like what's next in the...
But if they land
Brock Nelson.
Yeah, okay. If they land...
Yep.
I don't know. I mean, shoot for the moon and say Rantanen. Like,
well, yeah, listen.
But that one's a long shot. Yeah. That one is a long shot for probably... No other reason is that I don't think they have a roster player to really give up of liking.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, Brock Nelson for sure would be a significant step up. And center, like, it's at a premium right now. Center iceman. The Leafs have been focused on a center. There's not that many out there. Lawton's out there. I'm going to throw a name out there that I think I may have added even on my trade board with Boston's loss last night to Nashville.
Coyle. That's a good one. So right? I do you wonder.
Like, I like Coyle.
Love Coyle.
Like Coyle. Yeah. Big, strong.
Two-way.
Can play top six.
Can shoot in the net.
Second power play.
Yeah.
Right-handed shot.
Yeah.
Center iceman. Nice.
Buddy, give me Coyle and Carlo. That'd be great.
Okay.
So today my article, sorry, go ahead.
Just one more.
Yeah, please.
On Boston.
Yeah.
I really hope that Tree Living and Sweeney can get on calls. I hope Boston doesn't sit there and go, it's the Leafs, it's a rival. I'm not willing to send them there because I think that's close-minded and... Every team should be what's good for me now, not where I can look and see a guy that I just sent them for the next season.
You look at players that go try to sign one-year deals to win a Stanley Cup and try to predict who's going to be great or whatever. It's impossible. So for these teams trading a player to say, we don't want to trade him to them because it's going to help the Leafs win a cup, you can't know. You just have to get the best return you can. So I hope you're right and that would be an option. My article today was just forward and D pairs if the Leafs were to shop at one place. So... Donato and Connor Murphy from Chicago, Lawton and Ristolainen from Philly, and it was Gord and Alexiak from Seattle.
Yeah. Alexiak
doesn't fit.
My understanding, he's really off the table.
Is he okay?
Yeah. He's got another year. Seattle's going to want to try to make the playoffs next year. You don't necessarily give up those type of guys for picks and prospects.
Yeah, they did the Gordon Bjorkstrand, though, didn't they? I mean, first, I guess, is different.
I think
a big difference between kind of guys that play 12 to 14 minutes, can fit anywhere between the second line and third line. Those are a dime a dozen compared to an Alexiak.
Yeah.
So Charlie Coyle makes 5.25 against the cap this year.
With another year.
And then you mentioned Carlo. He makes it 4.1 this year and then 2 after that. So, I mean, that's how much money coming onto your cap, the amount that you have to get rid of, the retention. Is Boston going to retain in the division for 2 guys? Like, I don't understand how the math could possibly work on that for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
You know, going forward, you could just say, okay, well, Coyle's going to be Tavares now. You know,
yeah, oh, no, for sure.
Whatever. But this year, you have to get a third team involved to retain money.
You know, you try to have them take back. I'm sure, you know, Kemp to me is almost like not untouchable, but you really do need him in the bottom half of your lineup.
I am glad you said that. I don't see what you have as an option. Holmberg is your 4C without
He hasn't
Cam.
Played center, though. He hasn't been tested. He hasn't been battle-tested at center. He's been on a wing the whole season. If you told me in November, we got to get him ready at a center-ice position because we may have to move Kampf out, I would have bought into that.
Right.
Not now.
No. And Kampf is a guy who, you know, he plays 15, 16 minutes a night for them. He kills penalties.
Yes.
He takes D zone draws. He's he does. He fits a role for them.
So
for sure,
Yankrock to me is left. Yankrock and Maxomi, right, at salaries that can move the needle.
Yeah,
I think a lot of the perception of Brad Treliving coming into this market is the tire kicks.
Yeah,
and I think. I didn't really know that as well, but after last deadline and heading into this deadline, myself, and I think I can speak for some Leaf fans, are getting increasingly frustrated in the reports that the Leafs are seriously interested in this guy and they're seriously interested in this guy. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, if they're seriously interested, let's push one over the line here.
Mm-hmm.
You see what Julian Brisebois just did, and is it an overpay? Certainly.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, are they way better than they were 5 hours ago?
Yeah.
Yes. And they already have two banners hanging. Mm-hmm. They have the pursuit. They're going
all in.
It's
like loosen them up to take these swings that make you hit more home runs.
And they had a massive swing and a miss when they tried to trade an entire draft class for Tanner Janot.
Yeah.
That did not work out well for them.
But they also had a grand slam when they did it for Hagel and Goodrow.
I'm looking back at, I don't know, I think I saw you repost this tweet, but since 2018, they've had two first-round picks. They've made two picks, Nolan Foote and Isaac Howard.
Yeah.
And they've been incredibly competitive throughout that entire time. And it just goes to show that, like, you need to hit on seconds, and you, like, they value having players now and trading first. Like, I do think Leaf fans are way too protective of, like, all that 2027 first, that 2026 first. So you're worried about 8 years down the road when Mitch Marner's not signed yet?
Mm-hmm.
When, like, Austin Matthews is 28, not getting any younger? Like, I can't understand that perception. Like, Cowan's one thing. Sure, you've seen him. You've seen him. But, like, if the Leafs traded two first-round picks for the package that the Seattle Kraken just did, they're way better, and you took nothing off of your team, and you still have your prospects.
Yeah.
I don't. People are way too protective of the first-round picks, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
The defenseman, Oshawa, Danford.
Ben Danford.
Yeah, he's gotten some attention, too. He's
People
had
like
a couple
him.
Good battles for Oshawa.
I
don't know whether or not anybody believes that he won't be anything more than maybe.
Listen, I'm no Bukala. I've seen him play three times this year. Like the size, like the handedness, surprised he's a first-round pick. That's what I would say.
So that's my point.
Yeah.
That a lot of people think that it'd be great if he could fit in your third pair down the road.
Bingo.
Right. But you can find third pair guys. You know.
You can go down south to the NCAA and sign a free agent.
Right.
And get a guy like that.
You can sign Boris Velia or whoever they signed.
Aurora Borealis?
They just signed a guy.
Yeah, right? No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's how you make up for giving away some draft picks, in all honesty. But you hope that you can hit one.
Well, and you're faced with a choice with the way that Tampa Bay and Florida are operating. And it's that they are going in. You're tied with them in points with Florida. They've gone in and got Seth Jones. This other team's gone, got two good forwards. They're a couple points back you. You can either say, these are great cup-winning teams who are getting better. We're just going to cross our fingers and kind of hope we can get lucky. Or you can stand up and fight. You know, you can go, we're going to need someone too. We're going to need, if we're doing like an arms race here, we better buy some nukes. Or at least, I don't know, a BB gun or something would be nice at this point.
Yeah, I think your point is well made that, and I think, Kipper, you disagreed a bit, but I do, just going back to, like, it just feels so late and scary now, where now it's Wednesday at 4, you have 2 days here to significantly...
46 and a half hours.
Great math. To significantly improve your team, and it feels like the pressure has never been higher. And everybody else knows that. You don't think Danny Briere is like, his two biggest rival general managers made huge additions, and he's barking up my tree. You think the price is going down, boys?
Did Brad Tree Living kind of let us know earlier this week?
Not today's price.
Temper the expectations here because we have
Toronto.
That doesn't work. I know.
Temper the biggest fan base in the league who's dying for success. Temper those expectations.
I'm not saying it's right or wrong, Sam.
I know you're not.
What I'm telling you is that at least he appears somewhat upfront about it. Like, we shouldn't be that surprised now. It's Wednesday, going into Thursday, going into Friday at 3 p.m. that they really haven't made any significant changes.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had this conversation on for like 2.5 years now. They got to change it up. They got to... The work for me would have been in the off season making hard decisions, i.e., can I get Marner's contract moved? Can I find a team that'll sign him that he's willing to go to now and get something going here? A decision on Morgan Rielly. You know where I stood on Tavares's contract in the last year, whether or not you could move it or shrink it significantly and pick up a retention on it if you moved them. And those to me would have been major decisions. You're not getting those now.
No, but Kip, I think you can say, or they could say, that they made those decisions when you were asking them to make them. And maybe their decisions were that they believe that this group could win.
Bingo.
And if that's the case, you need to support those guys and give them a fighting chance. You know,
they're going to do something between now and Friday.
I know that.
And it'll probably cost a Minton or a Cowan, but there's just no way they're going to watch Seth Jones and this recent trade with Tampa Bay and, you know, go and get you a sixth or seventh defenseman and call it a day. I don't believe that for 1 second.
No, I sit here fully confident that the Leafs are going to improve. They're going to get a better player forward and a better player defense. I do believe that that's going to happen.
They've got something in mind, clearly, that they're waiting on or sitting on. And you have no choice but to sit here and wait.
And you're probably right that it's not them waiting and sitting at this point. It's, let's say Philly said, we'll do Lawton and Risto, but we're just going to wait to see if someone beats your offer. You know, we're 2 days away here. Let's just sit around and wait.
And that's
probably
at. That's exactly what's happening.
Yeah.
And when you factor in what we watched last year with Walker, remember?
Sean Walker.
Yeah. Sean Walker, like, this guy went from, okay, who is he again, to Bobby Orr.
Yeah.
And
Carolina.
If I remember, they got a decent price for him, and that's their style now. Mm-hmm. They're going to turn Lawton into Walker, and they're going to just have everybody bid up and then take the last final offer. But
this goes back to why now's you've waited too long. Because if 2 months ago you said, hey, let's have that conversation about Scott Walker, Sean Walker, whatever.
Scott Walker.
You know, like, let's talk about this guy. We know we have a need. Let's make this happen. I think you have a chance to get it done before there's, you know, they don't know if that guy's going to get hurt. They have a chance to get something for him. I really appreciate, is it Jim Rutherford who always does the early moves, right? It's like January every year. He seems to go get Phil Hronek, or they did the Miller deal early. And
The other Marcus Pettersson and Drew O'Connor deal, that was in start of Feb maybe?
Yeah, like, you have the chance early on. I don't know. Anyway, it gets tougher around now. Now you have to sit and wait to see if you're the highest bidder.
There's no denying what you guys said earlier, I think, Sam, there is. Like, he's feeling it right now. Mm. He may have a game plan. Stick to the game plan. But
which is okay. You're in the job for pressure. You're in a big market. You want to be a part of this whole thing?
Yeah.
That's pretty reasonable to expect, I think, from media and from fans.
All right, let's get the captain, Austin Matthews, thoughts on the trade deadline.
I mean, I think you look at our division in particular, it's obviously very tight, and you know, we know management's going to do the best that they can. I think all we can do is just trust in them. I mean, of course, you'd love to see a boost. I think with the way that we've played this year and the position that we're in right now, I mean, we feel really confident, really good about our team and our group. But, you know, this time of year, obviously, it's always, you know, you see teams adding and, you know, you want to add as well. So I'm sure the management and staff and stuff are doing a lot of thinking right now, doing a lot of homework and stuff like that. And, you know, we'll just leave it in their hands. I'm sure they'll do what's best for the team.
Sorry. Yeah, well put.
Yeah.
As if there wasn't enough pressure on Brad Treliving.
The captain says they need a boost.
Who's literally said nothing noteworthy in 4 years.
That was the longest answer he's ever had.
The only other noteworthy thing he said in four or whatever many years was when he said that the fans were quiet during the Reeves fight. There've been two times this year, mm-hmm. and the longest clip he comes out, he's like, "Yeah, we need a boost."
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny having watched both those guys in the Four Nations, like Marner and Matthews, and suddenly, you know, Marner has this moment of like in a big pressure stage where people went, "Wow, he made some great plays," and he makes a great play with Sam Bennett, who's a Stanley Cup champion and been in the moments, and Connor McDavid, who went to Game 7 of Stanley. You know, like it helps to have great players with you to mm-hmm. help you look great. And I'm sure these guys are going, we're good players, but like we could use everyone you could put around us to help us look good. Give us a chance to have success.
Can we have a Max Talbot score 2 in a game 7
yes.
one time?
Yes. Give us that guy who you go, okay, yeah. you know, Alex unless, gets an OT winner, yeah. whoever it is.
Unless they already think they have one in Holmberg or, no, I'm just telling you, yeah, though, yeah. That's the way they think.
Is yeah. that the way you think?
No, I want to make a trade. yeah.
But, hey,
and
listen,
I like Holmberg, but.
Me too.
I don't like the way he's developed, like this hot and cold. And sometimes I love him and sometimes you don't. And
yeah.
I don't know.
I will say the way the Leafs lineup is shaking out, if you add a centerman, a good, like a third line center, and a good second pair of right shot D, good team. Like the fourth line tonight against the Vegas Golden Knights is Lorenz, Kampf, Yarncroc. That's a very good fourth line in the NHL. You can win with that. You know, the third line then, if you have McMahon, Lawton, Pacioretty, take your pick of who you like, Holmberg, with that,
Domi.
Good. Yeah, Domi.
Yeah, but, I mean, he's, like we've said multiple times before, outside of the core four forwards, he's yeah. making the most. So, like, is but he not on the team in your I'm, scenario?
He's not. No.
I'm also...
Not,
no.
Okay. Good talk.
I also, though, am concerned about the heaviness and the wear and tear on Matthews and Tavares in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I always thought that I have to get something closer to say if Tavares went down, I like Coyle better than I would like Lawton
right.
in there.
Right.
That's
right.
all.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And
sure.
I like Gord, but, you know, 33 years of age, and he's not that big, and he's not what he may have used to been.
Yeah.
Used to be in Tampa Bay. You know, they're taking a bit of a chance on him, too.
Yeah, he had 11 goals in 80 games last year. He's not
mid.
Lighting yeah. it on fire. However, he is a guy who's performed under pressure in the past. The Coyle one is really interesting to me, and the reason I like the Ristolainen one on the back end
yeah.
is because everyone's saying they can't get any points from the back end. He's had a 40-point season. He gets a minute of power play time a game.
He can shoot the puck.
He can shoot it. You know, so the other names I've given you, guys like Connor Murphy, you know, they're defensemen.
Yeah.
You know, Risto at least yeah. has a little bit of offensive upside to go with being a giant and PK guy
yeah.
and all
just,
the rest.
But
just looking at Charlie Coyle's playoff production, I would say that he might fit right in.
Oh, no.
Like,
but, you know, I'm a big believer in it doesn't happen until it happens for a lot of guys. You know,
okay.
it's.
Yeah, okay.
Some people figure it out.
I'm just saying, you know, 1-1, 2-2, 3,
yeah.
2-1-1. No, goals in the
yeah.
postseason.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like he's exactly been a playoff ace.
Yeah.
So that would worry me, too. But
meanwhile, Yanni Gord had 7,
yeah,
6.
Yeah, I mean, like, he's
some
a.
Of those cup runs.
There's just certain guys that are. They just all play for Tampa and Florida.
Nick Paul.
Sam Bennett. He's just like,
yeah.
haggle.
Yeah.
Just guys that are that type of guy. Anyways, anything else from tonight you want to talk about?
We can talk about the Leafs and not just trades. If we
yeah,
want.
That's true.
On the show the other day, I talked about the minutes mm-hmm. versus one of the worst teams in the league. And Berube, you got a clip of it, the usage, the player usage of the other night. You want to play Berube on minutes played on the big boys?
Well, yeah, you know, like I talked the other day about it, overused him in that game. You know, circumstances, you know, with power plays and everything that went on over time. But, no, it's obviously, I it's a concern for sure. And, you know, they're used to playing lots of minutes. They got good motors. So, you know, they had good energy today.
All right. It's good. Ace is aware of it, right?
Yeah, he's aware of it. I do worry about the haves and the have-nots and what it says to the have-nots. Is, come on, like, I want to play too.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah, I would too, Kip, if I felt like it was a consistent thing. I feel like he's had a better balance than they've had in previous years, by and large.
Yeah, you just, there's just no need to play that much against the Sharks on a Monday in the second half of back-to-back. Yeah.
We do have him on the deadline too. Does he say anything interesting about it?
He does. Okay. He's coy. Let's play it.
Since he's your team, you know, top of the division.
Luke, of course.
How much have your guys earned a boost at the trade deadline, do you think?
Earned a boost?
Yeah.
We're all looking to better our team if we can. That's the best way I'll put it.
How philosophical. Everything, every little bit helps.
I love the player.
I love that player. I love the guy.
I love the guy. So handsome.
He's a hockey nerd.
Those are great drops.
They are.
So, I mean, the Leafs do have a matchup with against one of the Leafs the league's best hockey teams tonight.
They do.
If I had to pick one team to win the Stanley Cup, it would be the team the Leafs are playing tonight.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd pick Tampa.
The Vegas goal. Really?
Yeah. You've jumped over that Florida? Much over
over Tampa? Washington.
Yeah, I've watched them a lot recently. They're just getting better and better.
I know.
And Gensel's unbelievable in the playoffs. They just got another playoff guy. Like they're the best team in the league. I would pick them to win the cup.
Vasilevsky, Hedman's
anyways.
It again. See, I would go with the blue line of Petrangelo and this Nick Hague is big and I think he's like Ekholm kind of
another dream light. Ratings final for the
Hannafin, Whitecloud, McNabb, and then they're missing Theodore.
McNabb, and get Theodore back. And they're sneaky right now. Between now and Friday, 3 p.m., Vegas, I think, will be sneaky.
I think they got to do something because they don't have enough scoring.
Yeah, Rantanen and the Shen brothers will probably be on their
team. They could get Rantanen.
For sure.
They would be the type of team that says,
you retain again.
No retain. Yeah, you retain, and I don't know. They'll have to take a roster player, though. That's the thing. They'd have to give up something of significance. So I don't know who it would be. It's obviously not.
Could it be one of those many D we've been talking about?
I mean, to give them, and if there's one team that's going to part ways with a significant part of their franchise, there's been no more cutthroat, or other than, I guess, the Lightning who let Stamkos go. But
See, that's the thing. Whether you're the Leafs or Vegas or any type of team that contends is like they need a roster player back.
For rent, yeah.
Carolina has to look. Dundon has to look Brendamore in the eye and say, I got your player back.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Rantanen. We tried.
Yep.
But I got somebody back.
I think that's the bar, is if it needs to be someone as good as Natchez.
It's not going to happen. You're not going to get that guy as talented off of a team that is in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I don't think it's happening.
So what about if you have a contract negotiated? You say to Rantanen, you know, agent's allowed to talk to a team. It's a non-playoff team. He's agreed to extend with the Rangers. I don't know who's a non-playoff team that would do it. You know, then you could get a guy, a team who says, we're going to miss playoffs, but we'll do it for Rantanen.
But it's not Anaheim. It's not, like, why would you rush into that when I could just easily take my time and pick it in the off season when I can actually go and actually visit you?
I can't see Rantanen getting traded. I just can't see it.
I think it's fair. I think at this point, it's a fair comment that if Dundon's going to eat a crap sandwich for screwing this thing up, maybe he says, I'll do it. I'll do it in July. I'll take the heat in July rather than now.
Yeah.
I also wonder if you're not better off if you're them just saying, look, we'll give you 15. Like, you know, we need you to stay here.
Okay. And then it's opposite. You don't want a no move. You want to sign the 15 and then get traded in a year.
Great.
NBA
we'll give you a move, we'll give you a move clause.
Yeah, a move clause. We have to trade you within the first 2 years.
You can't just at this point put it all in. It's about the money. It's not. Mm-hmm. They don't make enough.
That sounds
the spread,
contradictory.
The spread between 12 or 12 and a half to 14 or 15
for sure
isn't enough.
It's not.
To say I want to take the next seven of my years in my prime and be here.
To make an extra one per year. Which is why, year, by the way, the Marner thing has bothered me too.
The eighth year is so overrated.
That's a new thing you've decided.
Yes. Overrated.
I wonder what the timing is on this.
He's 35. Rantanen's 35 when this retires.
Okay.
You think he's not playing again?
I think 35 is pretty old. I'm not so sure about it. I'm not sure he's going to get another 14.
Okay, so he gets 10 or 11. Now the difference between you wanting to sign and not sign is guaranteeing $4 million?
Well, pretty big swing to say he's going to be a $10 million guy at 35. Who knows?
If this guy doesn't get hurt at 35, everybody's going to still want him. The guy's a stud. He's a horse.
If you believe that these guys are going to continue to play and earn.
He's not falling off the face of the earth unless he has a significant injury at 35.
We can talk about that
it's
in 7 years.
To prove you wrong right now. Yeah. I can tell you that.
Let's make a bet.
Yeah. Hey, buddy, if we're on the air in 7 or 8 years.
We should go. We stop talking about the Leafs. We should go to our guests.
Okay.
What do you got? You got something else?
No, I got nothing. All right, I've had nothing for 4 years.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Well, none of us have.
Break
it up, baby.
You heard the man. Break. When we return, we'll get more out of Vegas and the Leafs tonight on Real Kipper and Bourne.
Hey, it's Ben Ennis.
And I'm Brent Gunning.
We got you covered on all things Leafs, Raptors, and Blue Jays every weekday morning, 6 to 9.
It's the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Real Kipper and Bourne. Actually, welcome back to Bourne. Bourne and McKee as we cut to Kipper, who is not present on the other side. Kip, you know, he's making calls on behalf of the show. There's a lot of interest out there.
He has no concept of time.
So just having a chat about things. We are awaiting Danny Webster, a Golden Knight writer from Vegas Review Journal. We'll chat about tonight's hockey match a little bit and about the potential trades that they might be making. We talked a little bit earlier about could they be a potential Mikko Rantanen trade partner.
Can I read you a clip from Julien Brisebois, who obviously made a big trade today to acquire...
and I want to know if it's the same one that I pulled up, because there's a couple doozies.
This one is almost a PSA for a lot of my Leaf fan friends that are listening to this show right now. I'd rather have a full lineup of good players than a bank of a ton of draft picks, because I think ultimately what we're trying to do is win hockey games. You know,
what a concept.
I understand that a lot of the reason the Leafs are where they are right now is because they traded away some picks. They didn't hit on first round picks. I understand that. Mm-hmm. But where you are in your competitive window, this is what you do.
Yeah.
This is how bad teams get multiple first round picks. This is how it kind of works. This is the rotation.
It's communism. The good teams trade away their first to the bad teams while they try
to
win.
Exactly. And it's like, that's just kind of how it works. So I love that quote from him.
I do too, but there's another aspect of this that I think people have the perception of a first-round pick, like whatever the first-round pick is a big deal. But here's what Julien Brisebois says. All first-round picks aren't created equal.
Correct.
Like, the first pick in the draft is not the same as the 32nd pick in the draft. There's a huge discrepancy in the value of those two picks. At the end of the day, what guides us, what drives us is trying to win championship, and that's really hard. In order to do that, you need a lot of good players. I do feel like that gets lost in the whole shuffle because Brisebois doesn't see it as they traded two firsts. Mm-hmm. They traded two 30th overall picks.
Correct. And I think with, you know, you look at the bottom of the NBA draft, it's not quite as I think the bottom of the NHL draft, you can still find the first round. I mean, you can still find guys. It's not as quite as bad as the NBA draft is. Mm. NFL draft, there's studs everywhere. But yeah, like you're much more likely to be fine with parting with a 30th.
Yeah.
Like you're not going to like lose sleep over somebody if you're losing the 28th or 29th or 30th pick and you go to a Stanley Cup final or you go to a conference final and you have all those moments.
The value created, like there's a lot of people that have those advanced models on value created by draft pick slot. And it's like first, second, third, like in a pretty precipitous drop from like, you know, gigantic value, tons of value, lots of value. Mm-hmm. And then fourth and fifth starts to level out. 6 to 15, there's a slow down. And then 15 on, it's a second round pick, basically.
Correct.
And that trade, you know, it does vary year to year, but I have heard that this year at that level, it's not that great.
So not only is Kipper gone, our exasperated technical director, Derek Randerson, said, he ain't answering, man.
All right. So, we'll use that opportunity. Straight to voicemail. Well, we'll use that opportunity to go through our
and here comes Kipper.
Oh, God. What a mess. Okay. Well, on that note, we have Kipper back in the house. We also have Mr. Webster, I believe, is calling in. Okay. We'll have him momentarily. Kip, did Marner get traded?
No, nobody got traded.
Oh, okay.
Well, you're gone for a long time. All good?
Yeah, all good.
All good. We're awaiting Danny Webster, who we're about to have.
What's that?
We're awaiting Danny Webster, who we're about to have in 2 seconds here. So.
Okay, so like I'm gone like a minute, and you guys are in full panic?
No.
What's going on?
It was like
hold the fort?
Wayne's World when it was just Garth and Wayne's not there.
What's he saying?
I forget. It's a great scene, though.
It is really good.
Yeah.
But really good. Really funny. No, just, you know, I got a call, and I'm like, yeah, I should take that call and just find out what's, like, can what's I find on? Anything out? And
Who was it?
It was a team thinking about Rantanen.
Oh.
That's all.
No big deal.
Yeah, no big deal. I just wanted to gauge
their
interest.
Were they listening to the
show? Let's get to our guest, okay. And then we'll follow it up. All right. Danny Webster, Golden Knights writer with Las Vegas Review Journal. How are you, my friend?
Doing good, guys. How are you doing?
We're good. All right, so where are we on Vegas? And like you look at their team, it looks stacked. They look like they're ready to go. But what are your thoughts going into a trade deadline?
Yeah, I think this is probably going to be one of the one weird years where the Golden Knights are going to be very quiet going into the trade deadline. I don't expect them to make the big splash, which is weird when you look at the last year, even the last couple of years, and you see them try and make the big swing for the big fish. And I don't see that as a possibility now. I see they don't have their first round draft pick for the next 2 years. They pretty much mortgaged their future to get Noah Hanifin and Tomas Hertl last year. The prospect pool is fairly thin. I don't anticipate them incorporating any of the remaining top prospects in a deal. But the funny thing is that, you know, I say they don't have their first two or the next two first round draft picks, and then you see Tampa Bay just give up their 2027 to land and two first round picks to land Yanni Gord and Olivia Bjorkstrand. So anything really at this point might be on the table. But for the Golden Knights, their roster for the most part is relatively healthy, which is again another interesting caveat with this season for them. And they're just in a position where I think if they're going to make an addition, it's probably going to be in the bottom six in addressing the penalty killing.
Danny, give us the state of the Vegas Golden Knights for Leafs fans who don't get to see them a whole lot right now. They're 4 points up in the Pacific Division. Are they looking like the Stanley Cup contender we've become accustomed to them being?
I think so. I think when you look at how they performed in December, that was probably the one month that really stood out, where they went 10-2 and they were taking down a lot of the top teams. You know, they beat Winnipeg at the time, they beat Minnesota. They were challenging a lot of the really tough teams atop the league. And then they go into January, right out of New Year's, they lose to Montreal. And then they go on this little bit of a tailspin where, you know, they're not losing games by a lot, but they were losing games in general, and they were losing games that they really should have won. And I think ultimately that's what kind of tempered the expectations a bit. But coming out of the Four Nations break, they've won five out of their last six. They won two really big games against New Jersey and Boston right before the break. And they've come back out of the break. They beat Vancouver. They give up four in the third period to Los Angeles last Monday, which was what was deemed an inexcusable third period by everybody involved there. And then they almost squandered a 5-1 lead against the Chicago Blackhawks last Thursday. And then suddenly it's to the point where, is this team what we saw before the break, or is this, or what we saw against Chicago, kind of what we anticipate going forward? And then they come back and beat New Jersey 2-0 on Sunday in a very strong defensive outing on both sides and great goaltending from Nathan Hill. So I think right now when you look at the landscape, especially in the Western Conference, they are definitely up there as one of the top contenders in the Western Conference to get back to the Stanley Cup final. I do think that when you look at the likes of Winnipeg and Dallas and Vegas, those are the top three, and I think Vegas has a strong case to make that it could be the top group among those three. So whether they add a lot at the deadline in the next couple of days, whether they choose to just kind of stand pat, they feel that they have a group that's strong enough to make a deep run when we get into April.
The Toronto Maple Leafs in Sin City to take on the Vegas Golden Knights. Danny, thanks for joining us, man. Really appreciate it.
Of course. Thanks, guys.
All right. Las Vegas Review Journal.
Yeah, this this Golden Knights team that you like so much, the Leafs have actually handled them pretty well in Vegas.
It is so typical of the Leafs to go in there
5-0-3
and win tonight.
Yeah,
and they are more than capable.
Yeah,
you know, you thought I was in bad shape after coming home from Detroit. Imagine me going to this game in Vegas with a Leaf fan.
It would be fun.
It'd be a lot of fun.
I gotta tell you, as a player in the minors going to play in Vegas, a lot of fun. Didn't win much. A lot of fun.
What was the...
The Wranglers.
Las Vegas
Wranglers.
ECHL?
ECHL, yeah.
What did they play out of?
The Orleans Hotel. Casino, yeah. It was where, like, the locals gamble. So
really?
You'd walk through the casino to the arena, which was in the building.
That's fantastic.
They played midnight games.
No, they didn't.
They did, not all the time, but they had, like, a couple midnight games a year, and people would be all juiced up.
It is.
They need a 30-for-30 on the Wranglers.
They do.
It is pretty remarkable, their story, like right from the get-go.
Yes.
And how fast they got good.
Yeah.
It's like unbelievable.
I mean, right from the start.
Right from the start.
The tragedy that right before their season started, and then their captain, Englund, who was from there.
Yeah.
Derek.
In the whole thing, like, it just was even, a storybook.
Even the foundation, even that expansion draft that started with Marc-Andre Fleury, and just you start with
Archer,
that guy,
Saul, Riley,
and you
Smith,
just
William
shot
Carlson.
It out of a cannon.
Yeah,
and now those original names are etched in stone for eternity as heroes in Las Vegas.
Yeah, you know, they're a cool, you know, part of the NHL's history now. I know there's a lot of fans of longtime teams, like Maple Leafs fans, who are like, the hell with them, you know, they're new, they were handed a cup, or whatever it is people say. It's a cool story that they did what they did, you know, being this competitive, this aggressive.
When I was there a couple years ago, I think I told you, maybe I told you this guy on air, but the Uber driver was in a Golden Knights hat, so I would struck up. He's like, we had to wait our 6 years.
I was
like,
know.
You shut your...
I'm sitting beside this guy in Disney last week, and he's like, you know, we're not quite the team we used to be.
I'm like, used to be.
Wow. Is that right?
Wow.
Kipper, when you were on the phone with any of your, you know, high-fluting friends...
Yeah,
I was on the phone with Bettman. Julien Brisebois is doing a press conference right now, and I read this quote to Borny, but I'll read it to you. He said, I'd rather have a lineup full of good players than bank a ton of draft picks, because I think ultimately what we're trying to do is win hockey games. You know, it's a mentality that a lot of Leaf fans should probably think about.
We keep waiting for, like, life to catch up to these guys, reality to catch up to these guys, and it it doesn't. Like, Tampa should have been after the pandemic and their Stanley Cups, like, the fall off and then the rebuild. And it's like, they dodged that.
I know. It's like...
their guys aren't ancient. Like, is, you know, there's not like Gensel's over the hills. I mean, with Hagel's, was he 26?
Oh, that point's done. He's washed point,
oh,
up.
He's getting
loser, that guy is.
Kucherov's really slowing down.
Yeah. No, they're obviously very, very good. I maintain that they're the most hurt by the flat cap because they did have to lose guys, but they've paid draft picks to get other good guys and keep
free
humming
along. Agents, right? You just you balance the books, you find a way to get a free agent, and that Gensel's like, yeah, lights out on that.
I think
best forward for me for Team USA for most of the games.
I think that there was this perception with the Leafs that when they finally got elite talent, like two guys who are top, pick your number, talents and four really good players, that it was like the Oklahoma City Thunder who eventually traded Westbrook and Durant and Harden, and everyone was like, if you just left them together, it has felt like that with the Leafs, where it's like, if you just leave them together long enough, they'll win, right? That talent has to win, right? And we're getting to this point now where you watch another teams, you have to keep pounding, getting the next guy, the next layer. And that's why I think we opened the show with urgency today. We want to see that because we know this isn't enough.
And there is a world where if Dubas stays and all the years of punches in the face that he took in terms of this roster and all this stuff, that it looks totally different if he stayed in charge. And I'm not even saying that's the right move, but Treliving coming in here being like, wow, these guys are amazing.
To your point, it was, you know, when he left, it was like something has to happen.
Yes.
And Dubas leaving was the thing that happened.
And then this offseason, it was the coach.
Yeah.
Next offseason, trainers? I don't know. We got a giveaway. On Saturday, March 15th, the Toronto Marlies will face off against the Charlotte Checkers at 1:30 p.m., where the Marlies will take over Scotiabank Arena for a can't-miss showdown. And we are giving away a pair of tickets. To enter for a chance to win these tickets, text code word CHECKERS to 590-590. Standard message and data rates apply. Today's code word is CHECKERS. Test this into 590-590 and your chance to win tickets to next Saturday's game. Should you not win, should you win, you'll need an email associated with a Ticketmaster account in order to claim your tickets. If you don't win tickets with us, you can still purchase tickets to the game at Ticketmaster.ca. So there you go. Hopefully Fraser Mitton's still in the lineup.
Yeah. Hey, question for you. Who is the higher value trade chip, Minton or Cowan? Because Minton feels more can play on your team today. Cowan, higher ceiling.
Yeah. If you think that Cowan is this scoring machine that he's been in London, then it's him still.
So it's a preference thing, what you believe on the
what you believe. This is where your scouts come in, and this is where I think Brendan Shanahan was physically in London earlier this week.
Really?
To watch either Cowan or Danforth, because it was London, Oshawa.
You know what happened?
What happened?
Cowan had a hat trick, including the overtime winner.
Yeah. All right.
That helps.
So maybe he was there contemplating on which one to give up this week.
The projection for Cowan.
I mean, it's a great theory. Why else would he go? I mean, I love going to games in Oshawa. It's fun.
But
good popcorn. Maybe that's what
I think from a scoring perspective, it's Cowan all day long still.
You know, he's on pace. His season pace is 49 games played, 30 goals, 34 assists, 64 points. He's not having a monster year.
Yeah.
Last year he had 96 points.
But it was only it felt like yesterday he was on this like massive point consecutive streak.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. I don't know.
The leading goal scorer in the OHL, by the way, is 120 points.
Sammy, our national hours coming up, and you got a general manager who's not on the phone will be with us. That's kind of cool.
Exciting.
Don Waddell, Columbus Blue Jackets. And also, I will share whatever I can off my phone call that had you guys twiddling your thumbs while I was away. So I'll share that.
You came back.
Thank God.
More when we return. We go national on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show.